MLB replaces an umpire. Plus, have the New York Yankees done enough to replace Juan Soto? Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Tuesday, February 4th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. And Troy, I want to get to Pat Hoberg. I want to get to the New York Yankees. Now, most of the show is the New York Yankees. But first, we got to talk about MLB firing umpire Pat Hoberg. He was one of the best balls and strikes guys. And in the press release, MLB said that he was fired for sharing a sports betting account with a professional poker player who bet on baseball. Eight of the games that the poker player bet on, Hoberg was involved with, either an on-field umpire or a replay official. MLB has reviewed all of those games. They said they did not find any evidence that Hoberg made any call that favored his betting partner. And they don't find any evidence that Hoberg, from his own personal devices, bet on baseball himself. This was something Hoberg spent over $700,000 on bets, mostly football, basketball, hockey, and golf. And this was all discovered because in like last year in the spring, Hoberg apparently went through a training for umpires where they said, hey, you can't have other people bet on your behalf. So he created his own betting account. And when he did that, the sportsbook said, hey, we already have this device connected to a different account with us, and they alerted MLB. End of the day, they found no evidence that he actually did, that he changed anything about the way he umpired or influenced any of the games he was umpiring. Is this an unfortunate circumstance, or is this further evidence that gambling's destroying the sport?
I think it's a unfortunate circumstance. I personally don't think that gambling is destroying the sport. I don't think really gambling is destroying any sports for that matter. I think that it should be more legalized throughout the country just because people are going to do it regardless. They're going to, even if it's legal or not, they're going to do it regardless, whether it be through a FanDuel or DraftKings,
an offshore book or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and you and I live here in Alabama where it's not legal. However, every single state that borders Alabama, it's legal in some form or fashion. And so it's just,
and yet plenty of people here still do it.
Yep, exactly. I may or may not personally know somebody that has done it through an offshore book. Who knows? But I think it's an unfortunate circumstance. It's kind of like back in the mid-2000s. Say there was a player who they thought was doing PEDs, and they were like, nope, you're banned for life. And then it turns out later, oh, nope, sorry, you didn't do PEDs. Well, I'm sorry you missed out on two or three seasons worth of baseball because we thought you did PEDs. It turns out you just hit a lot of home runs because you were just really good at hitting home runs. And so that's the way I kind of look at this.
Yeah. Hoberg is eligible for reinstatement in 2026 in spring training. So he's going to miss a year. Obviously he's going to miss a full year. He was fired during the year last year, so he's missed a year and a half or so now. But this is something to me, I'm kind of in the middle between those two extremes, right? Like, it's a problem when players are gambling, umpires are gambling. And unlike some of the other high-profile suspensions that have been handed out, again, no evidence that Hoberg bet on games himself. No evidence that he knew his betting partner was betting on baseball. And no evidence that he did anything differently to influence the outcome of games, right? There was actually the full report. I read the full report because I'm just a dork like that. Talked about there were several games actually where he made calls that went against his betting partner, right? Cost his betting partner $3,000 here or $1,000 there or whatever. Or of the six borderline pitch calls when he was behind the plate, four ended up going against his betting partner and two in favor. Like, there's no sort of evidence that he actually was doing anything to push games. It's not like the other scandals we've seen in the past. I think the Pat Donaghy scandal in in the NBA where he was actively influencing the games. I think that is important here. But either way, it's still probably 5 minutes more than the league wanted us to spend talking about gambling and talking about an umpire being involved in this. I do think it kind of needs to be pretty obvious. Like, hey guys, if you're doing anything that is involved with proprietary information, if you're in the press box, if you're on the field, anything in the front office, you probably shouldn't be gambling on sports in general. Like, just to be safe, just don't bet on sports in general. Obviously, it's kind of hard to say, hey, you can't, like, can't bet on baseball. That makes sense. But it probably should just be, don't bet on sports in general, because we don't want to have to investigate this or even have the appearance of any sort of impropriety.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, there's just a lot of people just need to have more common sense. It's basically what it all boils down to.
You're a major league umpire. Don't do this, man.
Right. And I do want to clarify that. Yeah, I am 100% against players betting on their own sport and umpires and officials betting on their own sport, because that could change the outcome of a game tremendously. I mean, you look at the NFL.
If nothing else, they have inside information. Listen, insider trading is apparently only okay for Congress.
but yeah, you look at the NFL, and obviously any official that is officiating a Kansas City Chiefs game, they have money riding on the Chiefs, because otherwise they wouldn't have made it this far.
The NFL is more strict with this. You can't place bets on any sport from an NFL facility. That extends if you're traveling on the road. You can't do it from the hotel, the meeting rooms, anything. So like, they're even stricter than MLB is, and maybe it's time for MLB to kind of adopt a situation like that. And it's like, hey, if you're going to bet on other sports, we're going to set it up where you literally can't do it anytime you're at the facility, you're traveling on behalf of the team or anything like that. It's just, they, you know, it sucks. It is what it is. But we talked about it. Let's move on, right? The New York Yankees have had a really interesting offseason, okay? They tried and did not keep Juan Soto. He went to the New York Mets, across town. But to make up for that, they made a lot of moves, right? They brought in Max Fried on one of the largest deals the lefty pitcher's ever gotten. They signed Paul Goldschmidt to play first base. They traded for Cody Bellinger to play center field. They traded for Devin Williams to be their closer. Do you think that this is a better roster now than it was going into last season? So I guess before they had Jazz, because they replaced Juan Soto with four different guys.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more balanced roster than it was going into last season. Going into last season, nobody knew that Giancarlo Stanton was going to have one of his healthiest years in the past decade and be what he was.
525 plate appearances.
Right. Like, who expects Giancarlo Stanton at 34 years old to have that many plate appearances when he hasn't done that since his MVP season? And it's but yeah, the adding Paul Goldschmidt, even adding Cody Bellinger in the outfield and Max Fried, they're a lot more balanced team. Whereas going into 2024, they were extremely top heavy offensively and with the pitching rotation, offensively with just really Aaron Judge and Juan Soto at the top, and then the pitching rotation with Gerrit Cole and the boys. And so and Gerrit Cole was even hurt for part of 2024. So it's I think it's a better team. I think there's a good chance that they make it back to the World Series in the American League side of the bracket.
Yeah, I mean, this is something. The big thing to me is, what was the thing about this lineup last year? Is it, like you said, top heavy? They hit home runs, but they didn't defend well. They didn't run the bases well. And now you're in a situation, you replace center fielder Aaron Judge and left and right fielder Juan Soto with center fielder Cody Bellinger and right fielder Aaron Judge, upgrade at both positions defensively. Jason Dominguez in left, I think, can be an upgrade over Alex Verdugo. Paul Goldschmidt at first base is definitely an upgrade over everything you had last year, whether it was Rizzo, you know, whoever else it was. And so the defense has gotten better. The base running with Dominguez and Bellinger, and now Jazz for a full season, I feel like is going to be better than it was. Although you still have Stanton being one of the slowest players in baseball, and Goldschmidt's not that much faster. But the big glaring thing to me on the lineup, before we get into the rotation, the big glaring thing on the lineup for me is they still have a hole at either second or third, depending on what they do with Jazz. And like Fangraph's roster resource has Jazz at second. I personally think Jazz should probably be over at third. And this should be, and yeah, probably should be leading off versus hitting second behind Anthony Volpe. And then second base is a quantity over quality, right? You've got DJ LeMahieu, you know, old man LeMahieu. You've got former top prospect Oswald Peraza. You've got utility man Oswaldo Cabrera. And the thought process is one of these guys should be able to hold down second base. And if they can't, you can then go make a trade in season. I don't want Luis Arraez over here because he's so bad defensively. But the very least, you can make a trade and get someone to fill second base. But you have three guys who could maybe do it first. Is that a realistic strategy? Or is that something where they definitely need to spend more money to shore that up, given the questions they have with Dominguez in left field and Goldschmidt at first?
No, I think that's a realistic strategy, especially when you look at it. Like you said, Jazz Chisholm Jr. should be playing third base. He racked up 8 outs above average at third base last year in 400 innings. That was his first time ever playing third base in the majors. And nobody else on the team got 2 outs above average at third base last year. And so I definitely think Jazz should be playing third base. I think that's a realistic strategy.
And that's like 40-something games.
Yeah.
That's not even a full season.
Right. You found Jazz Chisholm Jr.'s position that he should play defensively.
There you go.
But like we talked about with the lineup being a lot more spread out and less top heavy, you can take a hit from your second baseman offensively. You don't need your second baseman to be, you know, old school Robinson Cano or Chase Utley. You can have your DJ LeMahieu, Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza swapping in and out at second base, and just whoever's got the hot hand riding that for a few days and playing it that way. You don't have to go out and spend more money because, again, you have a pretty evenly lineup, evenly stacked up lineup, and it's defensively that's your best option, is to put Jazz at third and have those other three fight it out for who's going to man second.
Yeah. And I think the other reason why that's probably the right way to go is if you look at the other options available for either second or third, there's no slam dunk this would be the guys other than Alex Bregman. And you've already signed a qualifying offer player in Max Fried. So you're already losing your second and fifth highest draft picks. You would give up another 2 draft picks to sign Alex Bregman. Look at the third baseman available. Juan Moncada, Jace Peterson, Brian Anderson. Like, none of them are answering that question for you. Look at the second baseman. Whit Merrifield, Brendan Rodgers, maybe. Brandon Drury, Tony Kemp, Joey Wendell. Like, none of these guys are 100% this is my starting second baseman or third baseman. And so it makes sense to do it by volume. Now, I do think Oswaldo Cabrera's biggest strength is the ability to play almost anywhere, right? I want to say it was the 2023 season where he played outfield, he's played first base, he's played second and short and third, and he had a bunch of like outfield assists and outs above average in the outfield, despite having never been out there before. I do think having him in a position every day, while it's good for him to get regular play time, I do think it does hurt the depth a little bit because he's so good at flexing all over the roster. But I do think that, yes, this is the right approach. Is you still have LeMahieu. You're still having to pay LeMahieu. Let's see if we can get something out of him. And then again, you've got Peraza, who is out of options. He's got a stick, or you got to get rid of him. Let's see what we can do here. Let's see if we can figure out something. And I do think that this is probably the right approach because there's no free agent left at this point that's an obvious step in and be the starter, with the exception of Bregman, and he has extra draft picks attached to him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that if the Yankees would have wanted Bregman, they'd have probably went after him before they went after Paul Goldschmidt, honestly, because just Bregman's going to cost a lot more than any of the guys remaining in the free agent market. But I do have a question for you before we move on to the rotation.
Okay.
It feels like Jason Dominguez has been the Yankees' top prospect for the last decade. So do you think that in 2025, Jason Dominguez will finally graduate from being a prospect and get a full season in the majors?
I do. I mean, it felt like he was going to get that in 2023 until he had the elbow injury that needed Tommy John surgery, right? And he was ridiculous in that 8-game stretch. He hit 4 homers, looked fantastic. Struggled a little bit last year. He hit like 179 in 18 games, 60-something plate appearances. But he's also coming back from Tommy John surgery. He had like 50 games in the minors before he was up. Or less than that before they called him up. But he spent like 60 games in the minors last year. I do think that Jason Dominguez can come up and be up all year. And they have the ability to throw Trent Grisham out there if they need to. My question's going to be, if Cody Bellinger has 1 or 2 more years and he's done, can Dominguez make it back into center field? I think that's the bigger question for me. He's gone through a lot of body fluctuations. He's gone through, you know, he obviously has a weaker throwing arm than he used to. And most position players after Tommy John tend to move to a less demanding defensive position. A lot of third basemen move to first. We saw Bryce Harper go from the outfield to first base. So I wonder if, I don't think he'll ever play right. His arm's not good enough, but can he make it back to center from a speed and reads and throwing arm perspective, or is he stuck in left, which in Yankee Stadium, left field's like another center almost. It is a big, big left field. But I do think he's up all year, and it's up to him whether or not it's a platoon with Grisham or he's an everyday guy. Worst case scenario, you do have Jazz Chisholm, who can play the outfield as well. You can throw Jazz in center field. He did that for the Marlins. So you could always throw him in center field if you have to. But either way, I'm kind of hoping that you can get a full season of production out of Jason Dominguez, and he finally gets to stay up. So Yankees fans can finally get what they've been hearing about, like you said, for 4 or 5 years.
Right, exactly. And it's crazy that we've been hearing about him for so long. And I know this is just a part of international free agency, but he's only 22 years old. And we've been hearing about him for so many years. But a full good season of Jason Dominguez will be a big boost to their lineup and just stretch that lineup depth out even more.
Exactly. All right, looking at the rotation real quick. A 1 through 6 here, because the common thing now is, you know, give us 6 guys. So many teams like to do extra depth there. Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, and a rebounded Carlos Rodon, I think is a very good 1 through 3. You know, given that, I think the underrated thing with all of these guys, they don't walk a ton of batters. All of these guys last year had under 3 walks per 9 innings. Behind them, Luis Gil, who was Rookie of the Year. He faded down the stretch, but Rookie of the Year last year, threw 153 innings, like a career high by far. Clark Schmidt, when you're top prospects, as your number 5. You still have Marcus Stroman. And then in the minors, despite all the trades you've made, you have Will Warren, one of your former top prospects who really struggled last year. You have Clayton Beter. You have Yoendris Gomez. And you just signed Carlos Carrasco to a minor league deal as a non-roster invitee. And you claimed Alan Winans off of waivers from the Braves. Is this rotation good enough to win the division?
Oh yeah. I definitely think it's good enough to win the division. It's just Gerrit Cole and Max Fried alone at the top of the rotation is a solid 1-2 punch. That's one of the best 1-2 punches in baseball. And and if you can get
Max Fried tear for Max Fried, pour one out for Max Fried over here as a Braves fan.
Pour one out for Max Fried.
I'm happy he got paid.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he deserved it for sure. He's one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball. It's crazy how low he's flown under the radar throughout his career. But just those two alone, and if you can get another season like you got in 2024 from Carlos Rodon, that's going to go a long way to helping this rotation. And FanGraphs has Luis Gil projected to regress from what he did in 2024, if he does regress from what he did in 2024, he's still a solid fourth pitcher in your rotation. But yeah,
he's one of the better number 4s in baseball, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very solid rotation 1 through 4. And then, you know, you don't need your 5 or 6 guys to be world beaters. You can just have them go out there and eat innings, and that's what Clark Schmidt, even though he had a fantastic 24, that's what Clark Schmidt's going to do. And if they still have Marcus Stroman, that's what he's going to do, is just go out there and eat innings and make that infield defense work.
Yeah, he's been rumored to be on the trade block. Marcus Stroman has, and obviously just for that rumor, he blocked the trade block on Twitter. The bullpen is I feel like the bullpen's added pieces, but they're not quite done, right? They brought in Devin Williams final year before free agency, I think, right? Yeah. Devin Williams final year before free agency, brought him in from the Brewers to be the closer. Luke Weaver, who was just a revelation, they got him off waivers as your setup man. But outside of that, I do still feel like you're a little bit iffy in the bullpen, right? Ian Hamilton, Fernando Cruz, Jake Cousins, Mark Leiter, JT Brubaker. It still feels like they need to add a third quality arm in this bullpen. The question is, Jonathan Loaisiga had internal brace surgery back in April of last year. He should be back sometime after the season starts. Do you think the Yankees go out and make one more signing and bring in a good reliever? Or do they say, well, in the minors, we've got Rowanzi Contreras, we've got Scotty Frost, we've got these guys, we should have enough pieces and somebody's going to emerge? Or do they need to go get a third quality reliever for the back end there?
I think that they should go get a third quality reliever, especially with guys like David Robertson and Kenley Jansen still out there available in free agency. You don't need them to be the closers. They can be the second right. setup man. And
I do think the thing on Jansen there was a little bit of a report about the role. He wants to be a closer because he's trying to reach 500 career saves. Mm. So he might not be an option simply for that reason. But gotcha. There are plenty of other back-end guys. You're right. I mean, yeah, David Robertson, Danny Colom, Dylan Floro, Jacob Unis is a junk baller who's really good. Craig Kimbrell's still around.
Danny Colom just signed with the Minnesota Twins.
Dang. Okay. All right. See, there we go. Thank you for that. Scott Barlow. But like, not amazing guys, but they can find another guy to put in the seventh or eighth inning, I think. Or trades are always a thing. That's how they got Devin Williams, obviously. Yep. So Joe Kelly. Formerly the Dodgers. He throws gas still. He's a pretty good, you know, Hector Neris is available if they wanted to kind of do something like that, a reclamation project. Will Smith, we've learned you got to have a Will Smith on your roster to make the World Series. Every year since, 2019, 2020, a Will Smith has made the World Series. So, like, he's still out there. Reliever Will Smith is still out there. He would give you another lefty in the pen as well. So, which I don't believe they have a lefty in the pen as of now.
Yeah,
so
he would give them a lefty in the
pen. Yeah. Nestor Cortes might have been that guy, and he got traded to the Brewers in that Devin Williams deal. So it feels like the bullpen's the area. If there's going, this is from the outside, obviously, we're not Yankees fans here. If there's an area to add, it feels like that's going to be where you need to add, simply because you don't have any lefties and you still kind of need that third back end guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that would also just give Jonathan Loaisiga more breathing room. They wouldn't have to rush him back if their bullpen does prove to be a detrimental weakness once the season actually starts. They could give him time to work his way back and work through his whole program and bring him back in June or July or something. And like you said, they need a lefty. They don't have a lefty in the bullpen. Yeah. You got to have at least one of those.
If I remember, I think some of these guys have some reverse splits and they're pretty decent against lefties. Like if I remember right, off the top of my head, I haven't looked that up yet, but I believe like it's not as awful as you would think because some of their guys are okay against lefties, but yeah, they need to have a guy who throws with that other arm back there, if nothing else, just to help with the matchups. Because again, if your two best guys against lefties are your setup man and your closer, kind of hampers you if you want to go to a guy, if you need to go to one of them in the sixth to get out of a jam, now you've got to replace them in that back end, you know, that eighth or ninth inning with somebody else. So definitely go get another reliever. Again, go sign Will Smith so you make the World Series. That was the issue with the roster last year. Apparently we didn't realize that, but if they had Will Smith on the roster, they may have won the World Series. What would happen if Will Smith of the Dodgers faced Will Smith, the pitcher, on the World Series roster? Like, what are the rules here? Who wins? Like, who gets the World Series?
I think that's going to be the first World Series that's shared by two different teams. I don't know how you decide. Maybe they flip a coin or something, or I don't know.
No, those two Will Smiths have to fight to the death. That's what I want to say. They have to fight to the death on the mound. If they're on the mound, I guess the pitcher has the advantage, but like they have to fight to the death, and that's how we figure out who wins the World Series. I'm down for that. That'd be fun. You go six games, it's tied 3-3, you let them fight.
Have them in a WWE street fight. Let's go
all through the stadium, all through the underneath and everything. You know,
but no, it's just their
bucket
their
of balls. Hit him in the head with a bucket of balls. Okay, go ahead.
Their entire pitching staff. They have two lefties. I'm looking at that. They have Max Fried, Carlos Rodon. That's it. That's their only two lefties projected to be on the major league roster.
When you go to their farm system, especially like the higher levels and stuff. It's surprising how few lefties they have. It's just like, I don't know if it's an organizational thing. According to FanGraphs, which is not every single player, I think under the starting pitchers, there's like 11 lefties, and only three of them are in AAA. And then if you look at the relievers, it's even worse. There's like two lefties of every reliever in their minor league system. It's just a very right-handed heavy system. So that's not something they're really going to be able to fill internally. So just kind of, I didn't really notice that until just now. I'm like, holy cow, they just don't have lefties, really. So something to definitely figure out there. Final thoughts. Is this the favorite in the American League East?
I think it's got to be. Just based off strictly the lineup and the rotation alone, they've got to be the favorite in the American League East, because we look at the Baltimore Orioles, who won the American League East in 2023 and took a step back in 2024, and they basically did nothing this offseason to better Charlie themselves.
Morton. They brought an old man Morton.
Yeah, they added old man Morton to be their ace, I guess, but it's just they're taking a step back. The Blue Jays have done a lot to improve their standing in the division, but I still think it's not enough to catch up with the Yankees and what they're able to do, again, just based off the lineup and the rotation alone. The lineup of the rotation is going to hide the weakness of their bullpen a great deal, but I think they're the favorite to win the American League East easily.
Yeah, I'm excited to break down this division the rest of the week. I didn't realize how close the Orioles were to the top luxury tax level. Kind of blew my mind. You don't think of them as having giant payrolls, but they're rather close after some of their ads this offseason. So we'll talk about it. This has been First Pitch for Tuesday, February 4th. You're listening on audio. Do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Either way, tell your friends. Go to firstpitchpodcast.com to get more MLB news and notes. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.